Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're in our series on the greatest commandment. And as we are trucking towards the end of this series that we've been doing, today's session is entitled Costly But Not Confusing. And what I want us to look at in this session is I want us to talk a little bit about the process. Hopefully, as we've been, you know, going through this series, your hearts have been stirred. You've been, you know, hearing the idea that, man, this is something we want to give our lives to. This is the greatest commandment, that we would learn to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Well, but as we've been talking about it, one of the things that's probably jumped out at you is this is kind of an all-in sort of thing. This is a give our life, heart, soul, everything over to the Lord in a deep relationship. And so I want to talk this morning about the process being very costly. It being a very much, if you're doing it right, you probably are giving it all. You probably are laying it all down. But that while it's costly, it's really not a difficult path to figure out. It's not confusing. It's actually very simple in what it is that's being asked of us, in what it is that it looks like. The challenge is saying yes in our heart, moment to moment. It's not actually figuring out what to do. And one of the fun things about, you know, being a part of a young adult church is we're around 20-year-olds all the time that are new in the journey of trying to figure out what does it look like to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I get asked the question, you know, not directly all the time, indirectly all the time, and directly on occasion, what does it look like? What do I do? And it's great because it's like it's the simplest answers. The problem, the difficulty is it's a process. It takes time. And it doesn't just take time this week. It takes time for weeks and weeks and months and years. It's a lifelong investment. And so we're going to talk about that. Well, I'm going to look at Luke 14, 27 through 33 as we get started here. As we look at what it takes to live a lifestyle, the greatest commandment, and stay committed, loving Him fully, loving Him longly, loving Him for the long haul. Let's look at Luke 14, 27. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. This subject of the greatest commandment, it's an all-in, you know, all high-stakes poker. I mean, it's all in. We give our all, He gives His all, sort of a reality. And look at this crazy phrase that Jesus Himself says. He says, unless you give up everything, you can't be my disciple. Well, Jesus isn't after little followers. He's after those that would love Him, that would follow Him and do everything that He commands out of a love relationship, out of that greatest commandment overflow. So this concept of discipleship, it's the same as being a first and greatest commandment kind of person. It's the same as being a Christian. It's the same being a disciple, follower of Jesus. It's all the same thing. There's not another version of Christianity. There's only the greatest commandment version. That's the only one that's advertised in the Word. It's the only one that we're given an invitation into. And Jesus says this. He says, sit down and count the cost. Figure out what this is going to be worth. Now, part of the whole thought process of count the cost is, I really want that tower. I mean, at least in this analogy. The guy that wants to build the tower, it's for purposes that are going to help him with his business, this and that. It's the desire for the reward. It's the desire for what it is that we're buying. But then you got to look down and go, man, I got to calculate this. Am I in it to win it? I got to think about what this is actually going to cost me. And what I want us to focus on in this session is really just not quitting. Not quitting the greatest commandment. I don't mean not quitting on Jesus. For sure, don't do that. I don't mean not quitting in whatever, you know, assignments or whatever. Don't do that either. I want to talk about the thought process of, in a series like this, it's pretty normal for most of the people in the room to have their hearts tugged and go, I got to be about the greatest commandment. I mean, I would think, honestly, if you're a part of this church, you've been coming around for a while, and that's not freshly on your mind, I'm wondering if, like, you're watching, you know, the football game in your head during Sunday mornings or something. Like, where are you? I would imagine everybody that's a part of this church is stirred. And we've been doing this for a while. Going, man, the greatest commandment's a great idea. The difficulty is not quitting next week, next month, next year. It's staying engaged. It's being a person that's about the greatest commandment during the series on it, and whatever the next series is, and whatever the next year is, whatever the next decade is. It's being a person that doesn't quit on this most important commandment. Just want to remind us of something that's a powerful thought process when it comes to the greatest commandment. It applies to everything in the Word. But I want to put up 1 Corinthians 10:13, if we can, up on the screen. Related to temptation. And I want to give you the temptation to quit running hard after Jesus. The temptations to stop pursuing the greatest commandment with your all. The temptation for the greatest commandment to be a lesson you learned back in your history in God, as opposed to a current vibrant reality. That temptation, okay? This is what the Word says. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. I want to encourage you with something. There is no one that takes you out of the greatest commandment except yourself. No one. No circumstance. I want you to think about this for a second, because some of you are eyeballing circumstances right now that have got you a little distracted. And no doubt you're going to have other circumstances in your life that are going to be whoppers. I mean, there's going to be some difficult moments. There is no temptation that is uncommon to man. And when you are tempted, no matter the temptation, and just think about the enemy's desire to tempt you, to get you to stop doing the single greatest commandment in the Bible. Surely there would be more temptations against that commandment than there would be against any other commandment. Make sense? The enemy is alive. He's very crafty in his attacks. But God says this, whenever you are tempted, the Lord will provide you a way so that you do not have to give in to that temptation and you can stand up under it. You can endure it. I want to give you the encouragement. You can be a person about the greatest commandment starting at age 2 and make it all the way to 92. You don't ever have to stop. There doesn't ever have to be a break. You don't ever have to give up. You don't have to fade or wane. You don't have to have seasons where you're living the greatest commandment and seasons where you don't. That's a lie. There is no temptation that can come against you that you don't have control over, that the Lord won't give you grace in the midst of it to endure. I just want to read it one more time. No temptation is overtaking you except what's common to man. But because God knows it's common, He is faithful. He will help you. And He will not permit you to be tempted not one time beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, He will provide a way so that you can endure it. I want to encourage us with that, because I think so often about the version of Christianity that we are immersed in that is so quick to quit, so quick to fade, to become distracted, to lose our way. It is so common that you just look around and it's like, I think American Christians, we don't really like the kingdom cost concept. We just don't like the idea that anything could cost us anything. We don't like the idea that sometimes it's going to require a little bit of reach. Sometimes it's going to require tremendous reach. We have been called in every season of our life to be first and greatest commandment kind of people. There are going to be times where that cost is great and you've got to reach through it. But I just want to read you the words of David in relationship to the subject of cost. 2 Samuel 24:24, he said, "I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." I want you to think about those moments where your circumstances are the most pressing. You're the busiest. Busyness can be a great temptation to not live out the greatest commandment. I mean, it might be one of the greater temptations. You might be going through incredible heartache, deep despair. That's another one that can very easily either propel you into a greater depth of reaching for the Lord, because you're going, oh, God, help me with my ache. Or it can actually cause a calloused heart that can turn you away from the greatest commandment if you give into it. But I want to encourage you with something. In those moments where the cost is highest, where you find yourself going, it is so hard right now to live out the greatest commandment. I heard it in the series. I heard it when I was 20. I heard it again when I was 30. I heard the word about the greatest commandment, and I made the reach. But today, my circumstances look bleak. Decide in that moment. Now is one of those times where the cost for the greatest commandment might well be the highest, and it also returns the greatest reward. When the thing costs a lot, it's worth something great. And I want you to recognize in the seasons where the greatest commandment is the most difficult, you're the most frustrated, you're the most busy, you're the most overwhelmed, you're the most overlooked, you're the most whatevered, it's a moment to press in and go, this is a great sacrifice and I'm going to do it. I'm going to focus my mind. I'm going to focus my attention. I'm going to focus my schedule. I'm going to tell my emotions to shut their yip. I am going to pursue the greatest commandment. And you decide in your heart, because the word of God is on your side, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. It's not too much. Right now, it's not too much. There's not too much going on. There's not too much disappointment. There's not too much distraction or busyness or pain or whatever or promotion, opportunity. There's not too much for you to live the greatest commandment. You can do it today. And God will not let you ever be tempted beyond what you can bear. You can always do it. He will help you to endure this. This is really, really good news. Because up to this point, the greatest commandment might have even sounded like an experiment. Or might have sounded like a season. Or even a series of seasons. It can be your daily reality for the rest of your life. And it's actually what you were created for and what God most desires. It's how we feel, so fulfilled. It's how we actually fulfill the purposes for God that He put us on the planet for. You don't have to wane from the greatest commandment. That's a lie. Your circumstances may well be very difficult, busy, all the things. You will have ups and downs in your life, but that does not have to impact what is greatest in your life. It does not have to, and the Word of God is on our side. I just want to encourage you with that because it's really helpful to me when I know what the Bible says about my circumstance or when I know what the Word of God says about how I'm thinking or feeling or about my situations. It's really helpful for me to get re-plumb-lined in the Word instead of finding my truth in my circumstances. You will wind up so off course if you believe your circumstances. The Lord says He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So, cool. The Lord's with us. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be times where you want to quit doing the greatest commandment. For one of a thousand reasons, you will. But it does mean that there's power available to you to be able to stay the course. And that's the encouragement. It's a rewarded process. Put up that verse in Hosea 10, 12. I just love this verse. It's a process of sowing and reaping. This greatest commandment thing, the love of God growing in our heart and in our lives, it's a process. And you know what the thing about process is that's sometimes frustrating? Sometimes we find ourselves at the beginning of a process and it doesn't look like it's working. You know, man, every time I open up one of those IKEA boxes, I just look at it and go, oh, hot mess. It doesn't look like it's working. Why do I have all these extra parts? Like, what is this? The process, sometimes on the front end, and even a couple of steps into it, it may not look like it's working. Just keep going. Keep sowing. Look what the word says. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Doesn't that just sound like the greatest commandment? Isn't that what we want so bad? The fruit of unfailing love. To reap it in my life. To reap the fruit of me loving God, of God loving me, to reap it. And break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. One of the reasons I love this passage so much is it is a cause and effect passage, but it's a cause and effect passage that very clearly indicates a process. Here's what I mean by that. It doesn't say, do this thing, do this thing, do this thing, do this thing, and at the end, this good thing happens. It says it this way. sow for yourselves righteousness, and while you're doing that, you are going to be real time reaping the fruit of unfailing love. Oh, but while you're doing that, don't forget to break up your unplowed ground, all the areas of your heart that you've not submitted to the Lord, the areas of hardness, callousness, areas that you gave to the Lord, but then you allowed overgrowth. You didn't deal with it. And you allowed some things to sprout up there that shouldn't be there anymore. And that's ground that now needs to be plowed again. And he says, in the midst of all this, it's time to seek the Lord until he comes. And then, as soon as he comes, it's time to seek the Lord until he comes again. And then as soon as he comes, time to seek the Lord until he comes again. It's a process. There's no end to this. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to sow, to break up that unplowed ground. And in the midst of it all, we will reap the fruit of unfailing love because the kindness of the Lord, as he does allow fruit to come in its season. And it's not just it all comes down the road, 5 years, 10 years down the road. There's fruit to be reaped all the way through, though there are significant moments where you get to experience the fruit of that, where you get to feel that unfailing love burning in your heart. I love to feel God. I love it. I love feeling his presence and feeling that love, that unfailing love. I love to just pray about unfailing love and just talk to him about it. And there are times where I pray about it and I feel him. I feel him in the dialogue. I love that. There's also some times where a prayer meeting feels a lot like breaking up unplowed ground. Where it's like, oh, Lord, help. Has it ever rained on this soil once since Genesis 1? Ever. This is some hard soil here. This is bad. If I didn't have the word of God to tell me otherwise, I'd just say, the process isn't working. This is not working. Sow for yourselves. Reap. Break up. Seek. And he will shower on you. See, this is the promise about the greatest commandment in any season of your life. If you sow and you break up, if you love the Lord and experience those little moments of reaping, don't look at that as the final reward. Because in this passage, it says there's even more. He will shower down on you righteousness. Reap a fruit versus get showered on. Showered on is those big moments. Reap the fruit is the day-to-day. The Lord wants for you to be able to experience, well, don't give up. This is available to you every day. This is part of the way that the Lord promises to protect you so that you won't quit. This is part of the process of no matter what temptation comes, he'll give you a way out. He's promising that he will give you grace. This is available to you in every season. What's it look like? Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Seek Jesus with perseverance. Let's run with perseverance. Run with perseverance. Not walk with unperseverance. What would be the opposite of perseverance? Quittedness? I don't know. Whatever the opposite of perseverance would be. It says run, so that's a good clip. I mean, that's a pace. You're going with perseverance. You keep going. You trust that the Lord will continue to give you grace to just keep running and running and running. Our life in Christ is described as a race. It's not a walk. It's not a barely fallen forward sort of a scenario. It's a run with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Here's the solution. We fix our eyes on Jesus. When we're in those moments, those circumstances, whether it's busyness or boredom, or pain, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on those circumstances. See, it's costly. This is a costly road. It is not easy to run after Jesus with perseverance. But the solution is we keep focusing on him instead of focusing on this. We keep giving him our attention, and he will sustain us. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And he responds to our waiting. I'm so grateful for this promise in the word. This verse and 100 others just like it. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Wait for him. You haven't seen that shower of righteousness yet? You haven't seen that reaping the fruit of unfailing love this week yet? Wait for him. wait for him. There has been no one like him. It's a testimony throughout ancient times that God is one who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. It's a promise. It's a promise. If you will wait for him, you will encounter him. If you will wait for him, you will press in. You will experience the Lord even in this life, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's our hope. What is it that we're waiting for? I think about this life in Christ. I think about this run of the greatest commandment. And I think, man, a lot of times what it feels like to me, especially in the early days of my running after Jesus, felt like I would have some sort of word from the Lord or an encounter or some fruit of unfailing love, reaping the fruit in some sort of moment. And I would feel like that would just give me just barely enough fuel to get to the next moment. I would feel like, oh God, but he knew he would give me enough. I wouldn't be tempted beyond what I could bear. He'd give me enough. Give me just enough fuel in the tank. But here's what happens. The more that we run after him, the more that we trod that path and make it a well-traveled path back and forth of us and our communion with Jesus, our greatest commandment lifestyle. Here's what happens, Ephesians 3:16. We get the reward of power inside our inner man. And when the power touches our inner man, it gives us significant strength to keep going and stay going the whole way through. Listen, here's my desire in this whole series, the reason I'm going obnoxiously long in the number of sessions, I really, really want to help empower you to live the greatest commandment for the rest of your life, not for 2021 and 2022. I really, really want to give you the tools. I want to do everything I can on my side to help empower you to run with perseverance. Let's read this verse. You know it, one of the apostolic prayers. We pray it all the time. But think about what this means for you, related to your pursuit of the greatest commandment. Power to help you do it. Ephesians 3, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, meaning he has got so much capacity to be able to give this to you, there is no end to what he has available to be able to impart to you, that he would strengthen you with his power through his spirit in your inner being. Out of the riches of what he has available, this giant mountain of power, he would use it to strengthen you in your inner man so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's greatest commandment kind of stuff. This is that we would experience God, reap the fruit of unfailing love, that we would feel his presence and his power touching us in our inner man. The way that we do this is we just don't quit. We pursue the greatest commandment and we keep running after it because it's a promise that he promises, it's a process that he promises to reward. It's a process that he will reward. And every time we get a little injection of the power of God touching our inner man, it gives us strength to say yes again today. It gives us power to run again. Where we go, those things that I was doing a few weeks ago that made sense to me, a few months ago, the ways I was interacting with the Lord that felt right and good, in my soul it felt good. Power again to say yes and to do it again today. Power to sign back up. Power to keep running after the Lord. A race with perseverance. Here's been some of my observations about the costliness. We're going back and forth between, it's really a pretty simple process, and oh my gosh, is it a costly process? Some of my observations about the cost. So many times, there's not an instant reward. So many times, it is an investment that we're making that we may not necessarily feel it today in the moment while we're doing it. In fact, if I can just be really honest with you, I would think the majority of my efforts to reach over the last 20-something years of being in the Lord, the majority of them, rarely did I feel it so strong and awesome in the moment. Not never, but rarely. So I just want to give you guys a little bit of a heads up that much of what you're doing is you're sowing. See, when you sow for yourself, you're putting a seed in the ground. You look at it and you're like, well, it didn't turn into nothing. Dude, you just put the thing in the ground. Give it a minute. Let it germinate. Let the water get it, the sun and stuff. No, I just sowed. Boom, I want instant reward. You American. I know I'm the same way. The drive-thru, man. I want it hot now and for a dollar. We've got such a wrong perspective about this process. We're totally not into process. We're into instant gratification. And the thing about sowing is you're putting it in the ground believing that's going to turn into something a little bit down the road. That's the majority of our reach. But here's what I found. Lots of uninspired time praying. But see, what we've got to believe is that the Lord is doing something in us in those times of prayer, even when we don't feel it. We're sowing. Can you just think next time you're in one of those moments where you're praying and it doesn't feel particularly inspired? Could you just think of it for a moment as you're sowing? You're sowing for yourself righteousness. You remember that passage? It said, sow for yourself righteousness. The end of it is you will then have the Lord shower righteousness on you. So instead of a plant growing up, somehow you plant the seed in the ground and he causes the rain to come down on you as a response to your seed in the ground. Sow for yourselves righteousness. So those uninspired times of prayer where you're just sitting there, it's like, I don't know, feels like prayers are just hitting the ceiling, not really feeling it right now. You're sowing. Don't you stop sowing. Don't you stop sowing. That farmer who would just go, it's not really working. I planted all these seeds and nothing's happened. Come on, show a little endurance. Like, run the race with perseverance. Don't give up. You keep sowing and you believe the Bible's true and whatever you're hearing at the moment is probably a lie. Because the word of God is true. Sow for yourselves righteousness. I've also found lots of times obeying when I don't want to. I get into those moments and I'm like, you know, disobeying would be pretty good right now. Not obeying sounds better at the moment. It's all those times where you just don't feel it, but you do it as a seed sown into the ground. Let me tell you what obedience buys you in the most profound, immediate moment. There, you are sowing, but you're also protecting yourself because you're posturing yourself to receive. When you obey, you're posturing. You could look at it this way. Obedience is an open hand. Disobedience is a closed hand upside down. You got control, and you're not catching anything when it lands. When you are in obedience, you are sowing for yourself righteousness, and you're postured to be able to receive more from the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. But in my observation, so many times I'm in those moments of obedience, and I'm just kind of like, well, I did it because it was right, but man, there's a lot about this situation. I really kind of wish it would have gone the other way. And the Lord's fine with just leaving you like that for a moment, where it just doesn't look like the process is working. But see, here's the other part of it. Lots of time faithing that God is watching. You're just believing there is a God on the other side of this equation. He sees me and he's responding. He sees and he will reward me. If there's no God, it's all for naught. This whole life doesn't make any sense. But if there is a God, and he is who he says he is in the word of God, then we believe in those moments, I'm going to pray and believe. I'm going to obey and believe. I'm going to give and believe. I'm going to serve and believe. I'm going to seek and believe. And it's all those moments of faith. You're sowing for yourself righteousness. And when faith pops up and becomes fruit, and you get to reap that fruit, it is so helpful to your relationship with the Lord, to your encounters with him, to your perspective. Lots of hours spent in the Bible. It's the word of God. It's the words of God. And there may be many times where you find yourself reading the word and you're like, I don't know if this is making any difference. It's a process. You're sowing. You're sowing into yourself. You are sowing, like probably as loudly as you can, you are sowing righteousness into the field of your heart when you read the word of God. Yeah, but it's kind of boring. I don't really get it. Listen, you'll get it later. Just keep sowing. The farmer that's out there is like, man, it's so boring planting seeds. You will die. You need plants to grow, man. Plant the seeds already. Yeah, it's so boring. Shut up and plant the seeds. You need the word sown into your soul. You need the word. And as the word is sown into your soul, it's producing crop, I promise, whether you see it or not. People give up too soon. Don't give up. Don't give up on the sowing. Don't give up on the greatest commandment. Let this be a lifelong pursuit. You know, for years. I've shared this before in other, you know, times or whatever, but I think it's helpful. For years, I just felt like, man, God, I'm reading the Bible every day and it's not really doing anything. I was trying to fast every week and I was failing like miserably. It was like the worst ever. And I was in a bad mood, also not helpful. I was trying to pray every day and it's like, I just was like, this is the worst way ever to run a kingdom. Like, this is just horrible. I don't feel you. I'm doing all this stuff. I am so glad 18-year-old Brad didn't give up. I am so glad because I am reaping the fruit of unfailing love. And it's from all the sowing, all the sowing. I want to give you just a point of encouragement. Since I gave my life to the Lord at 18, there has not been a season of my life where I wasn't running the race with perseverance and reaping the fruit of unfailing love. It's been 20-something years. You don't have to have a break. There doesn't have to be an off season. You can run and enjoy the greatest commandment because it was what you were created for every season of your life. I don't mean there weren't hard times and up times and bad. Of course there were. But my heart was burning for Jesus the last 20-something years. And yours can too. And I have no doubt 20 years is just the beginning. It turns into 40 and 60 and 80 if we got time. That the Lord's desire for you is that you wouldn't live bored. You would live alive in the purposes of the greatest commandment. And it's a very sustainable reality. We've got to trust that the Lord is with us and He'll help us in this journey. I want to go back to that 18-year-old Brad. Because some of you may find yourself in that situation where you're like, prayer is really not awesome right now. I liked reading the Bible when I was in the Psalms, but man, I don't know how I found myself in Leviticus. And I am not feeling it. Listen, I just want to tell you something. You are sowing, and you need to see it that way. And if you will sow for your self-righteousness, and you will break up that unplowed ground, you look at the fact that you can't encounter the Lord in whatever Bible passage. You'd look at that as unplowed ground that needs to be broken up, and you deal with it instead of move on. If you would look at the situation about, man, my heart is really not encountering the Lord in prayer, but you go, I'm sowing, I'm going to do it again tomorrow, I'm sowing, I'm sowing, I'm sowing. The Lord says He will shower righteousness on you. He will encounter you. Seek the Lord until He comes. And then as soon as He's come, it shows up, say, good, see you again tomorrow, seeking you till you come. That we would live a life of seeking the Lord. That this would be our way. The greatest commandment is our life. It's not a sermon series. It's not a lesson that we learned. It's our way in the Lord. Unless we give up everything, we're not even worthy to be His disciples. But if we will give everything, He'll give everything. Our life can be alive and vibrant our whole way through, even in the midst of horrible circumstances. I am not promising you your circumstances will be great. In fact, I want to promise you the other way. We are living in a generation where your circumstances are going to be a bit yuck, times 10. We've got to be a people that are rooted and grounded in the greatest commandment as a lifestyle that is unrelated to our circumstances. We can be a people alive in God today in dire times. That's the objective. That's the win. I just want to give you this verse in Psalm 23, verse 6. As we pursue the Lord, as we seek Him. Actually, let's do Psalm 27, 13 first. Sorry, Caitlin, I appreciate you back there. Psalm 27, 13, I remain confident in this. It's not just that I'll see the move of the Lord, I'll see His touch of unfailing love at the end of my life, or when I, you know, graduate. It's that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. There it is again. Lean into the Lord. Run after the Lord. Seek the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You will see those moments where your prayer life is vibrant, where the Word of God is alive, where you find grace for fasting. You know, we do this fast every month. I want to encourage all of you, if fasting hasn't been a normal part of your life, try every single month when we do the GBF. Try it. Try and fail miserably and ask God for grace and help to do it better next time. And then try again and try again because you know what you're doing? Sowing. You're sowing the seeds of righteousness. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep going. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You will see those seeds produce a crop, because that's what happens. It just takes a little bit of time and watering and germination of the seed, turn it into whatever the heck seeds do. I don't know how that works. When you continue to sow, the Lord will continue to allow you to reap. Look at that verse now in Psalm 23, verse 6. As we seek the Lord, look what it says. Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Follow. Like, there's just moments where you turn around and you see it. You see him following you, his goodness and his love. His goodness, things in your life that you get to experience and go, wow, that was really awesome. It was from the Lord. His love, moments in your life where you encounter his love. What does it mean for God's love to follow me if I never get to feel it, see it, experience it, know it? The whole purpose that the psalmist is saying right here is David's crying out. He's saying the love of God will actually follow. As we are those that will make the Lord our shepherd, we will follow him. We will be about the greatest commandment. He says his love will follow us through life, and there'll be moments where we experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, where we get to feel his love. I want to give you a piece of encouragement for those of you who are like, okay, I'm kind of new to this, or it's been a while since I've really been running after the Lord with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to give you a piece of encouragement out of 1 Corinthians 13, 11. It's okay for a child to be a child. That's okay. This is not a point of, you know, condemnation for anybody. It's okay. But I want to give everybody some encouragement about the natural process of things. Childses grow up. And here's what happens. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. I want to tell you, even in relationship to the way that you interact with God, the way that you interact with the greatest commandment, the ease of being able to connect, your perspective shifts the longer you do this. The Lord starts rewriting the code. You start giving yourself, part of the sowing for yourself righteousness even equals the pattern of sowing for yourself righteousness. Do you know it's a lot easier to keep doing things once it's a habit? It's tremendously easier. You don't even think about it. You know, I mean, think about the first time, if you can remember, back when you were like, I don't know, 12 or something, and you set your alarm clock for the first time. I was like, man, that thing was the devil. You were sure of it. You woke up here now, and you're like, you got out the baseball bat. You were ready to whack that thing. Okay? But do you know what? After the bazillionth time of hearing that thing go off, it's just normal. You get up and do what you're supposed to do. There are patterns that get set just in the natural order of things. There's maturity in your perspective. There's God stories in your history. The longer you do this, you mature. You mature in the greatest commandment. It's no longer a foreign idea. It's now part of your root system. You mature and you act like a mature person in the Lord related to the greatest commandment. It's no longer new territory. It's no longer stuff that you don't know how to navigate. It's something you absolutely know how to live in and live out. This is a beautiful point of perspective. For some of you are like, man, I don't know. I just feel like it's just such an uphill run. I promise you, you will mature if you keep going. And this will get easier for you. This will become an easier reality. Your perspective will shift. And it's so powerful when it does. So here's how I want to end today. I want to talk about the transformation that occurs by the sowing. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want you to think about the greatest commandment. I want you to think about all the sessions we've been doing and all the ways that we've been talking to the Lord and interacting with the Lord, what it means to love him with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, what it looks like today. We were just looking at this concept of sowing and reaping. We're sowing for ourselves righteousness. Here's what's happening. You are being transformed. That's what's happening. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. You are being transformed And as you're being transformed, there are things that become far more natural for you. There are pleasures that you've never even touched before. There's ease of access. There's glories in the Lord. There's stories that you wind up getting in Jesus. I want you to just stay in the hunt. Don't quit. Be transformed and keep being transformed. I can't think of anything I'd rather be transformed by than the greatest commandment. To allow that to be what's transforming the way that I process and live and schedule my time and be transformed. And as you are, there's so many pleasures along the way, the reaping the fruit of unfailing love. My hope this morning is really simple message. It's that this process, it is costly, but it's not a complex one. You just run and keep running. You just reach and keep reaching. Love and keep loving. Just don't give up. Don't quit. There's joys along the journey, but also there's incredible transformation that you get to look back after periods of time. You go, oh my gosh, I have grown so much in my love for Jesus. I mean, I look at my life now and where I'm at with the Lord and my conversations with Him and the tenderness of my heart, and it's so different than 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, I really loved the Lord. I mean, I really loved Him. But every few years, you get to look back and go, dang, I am experiencing the shower of righteousness on my life. I want you to get some perspective, not about the drudgery of today. Start to celebrate the sowing and believe for the transformation, because the longer you keep doing this, the more transformed into His image you're becoming, and the joys only increase.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.